Good. So it was, how can you use sadness, and also there's a smoothness. How can you use that in your arguments? How many of you remember the last part of the debate in The Great Debaters? When just before the last part, the white opponent, ostensibly from Harvard, I hope y'all do know that at that time, while it's a true story, the reigning champion was not Harvard University, it was University of South Carolina, I mean University of Southern California. And so they changed the name of the school in the movie because they wanted you to be impressed. But the reigning champion at the time wasn't Harvard. So, but in the movie, you have the Harvard debater, the white Harvard debater, and he's making his arguments. How many of you remember what his arguments basically were, and then what the response of the 14-year-old James Farmer was? Does anybody not remember the movie?
Are you saying, are you asking us what he said, or just do we remember it?
I'm asking you, do you remember what the previous person said, that is the Harvard debater, and then this is now in The Great Debaters, they're at Harvard. They have to debate whether civil disobedience is a good thing or a bad thing. The Harvard team is debating that civil disobedience is a bad thing. You have to have discipline. You have to have control. Civil disobedience leads to anarchy. And the Wiley College team was arguing that civil disobedience is very important. And they called out examples. Good morning, Rachma. Examples of Henry David Thoreau, who was right there, and James, boom. Okay, even if you don't remember what the white guy said, if you remember what James Farmer said, then let me, what I want you, tell me, for any of you remember any pieces of that, let me hear it. What do you remember?
I remember him. I don't know if this really has to do with that same part, but I remember him bringing up the part that the girl had brought up in the beginning, talking about how, oh, hold on, I'm not sure, that might not be him, but it was something about welfare and different things like that.
I'm listening.
I remember the last part of his argument where he's saying that it's our right to be able to protect ourselves against basically white people who are trying to attack us. And we have it in our power to either use passive resistance like sit-ins or actual armed physical force. And then he says, and you better hope I choose the former of those two. Unfortunately, I think that's the only part I remember of his argument.
I remember the two examples that the white guy and the James Farmer used. I remember the two examples. I remember the white guy he used to make his argument stronger. To sort of appeal to emotion, he talked about his father and how his father was killed by civil disobedience. And then James Farmer used the example of the lynching that they saw when they were on the road, and he used that example. So I remember those two examples that both of them used to strengthen their arguments.
Excellent. That is, you're absolutely right. All of you, what you've said is absolutely correct. James Farmer's rejoinder or rebuttal or counter to a very personal example, okay? So people who tell you that emotion has no place in argument don't know what they're talking about. It does. And both of them used it, except for James Farmer's trumped his. He also was using that argument and that reference to his father to get people identifying with, wow, his father was killed and da da da. He saw his father killed, or his father's friend was killed, something like that. That is supposed to support the need to have the rule of law, and it is that combination. So, what was necessary was for James Farmer to go to the blues. Okay, that is, you know, he wasn't just stuck up in his head. Okay, he took his time, and he used a very real thing that he was sad about, and that we were sad about. Okay, not being able to help stop a lynching or even address it after it happened. So he was singing the blues, and then he countered his other rule of law, you know, by saying the rule of law in the Jim Crow South is that that Africans are lynched, and no law stops that. So you cannot go just on the law, and it has to be resisted. Because, again, using his father's example, an unjust law is no just law at all, that his father would quote from Augustine, okay? So he counters that. But what makes it strong, he could have just said, well, an unjust law is no law at all, and the laws in the Jim Crow South don't protect black people, and so it is logical then that we need to resort to civil disobedience. He didn't do that, okay? He put in, it must be resisted because it's no law at all, it's unjust, and it has to be resistance, and it's justified to either be resisted by violence or by civil disobedience. Then he used another piece of emotion. He didn't then say, therefore, one should be glad that people would use civil disobedience. He says, and you better be better pray or hope that I choose the latter. Very, very powerful and creative. Okay, so I want you to understand that we want you to, you know, train your mind to understand the logical arguments and to follow it and know how to challenge it. But the creativity in terms of how you challenge it will determine whether or not you win or lose. Okay? It will not be just on, you know, whether you've met the arguments. It's people got to hear them. People got to feel them. They got to touch them. And for that, you use the blues. Okay? You use jazz. Okay? And you transfer that creativity to apply it here. That's what makes us so great. When we put our hands on a basketball, created this game created by Naismith, you know, we start playing the blues with it. We start playing jazz with it. You know, now we do hip hop with it. Okay, but when we start slam dunking, you know, crossover dribble behind the back pass, yo, that's the same thing. Okay, so it's important that you don't leave the blues behind when you are arguing, okay? All right? I hope y'all got me. Hope you're feeling me. Give me some feedback, and then we'll move. All right. I got response. Got response from Ife and Zinzele and Nasha and Keone. Rockma, are you in the class? Thank you, Safia. It's taking a long time. RD, are you in the class? Well, you know, roll with. Now, if you're not, you don't have to agree. You don't have to just say, I ain't, you know, if you don't, just boom. When I ask you a question, I expect for you, did you read what I said about the song? Okay, just a minute, Ife. Thank you for posting that. All right. Ife, why don't you give some voice to your own words?
Okay. I was just pointing it out because I wrote this long thing and it didn't seem like anybody noticed it. But what I said was, to me, it's saying, being the song or the violin, it's saying that we have those sad times, those hard, burning, sorrowful times, and we may get low and get down sometimes, but we always get back up, and it may be hard, but we always make our way back to keep on moving and keep on living.
All right, Mo, thank you for giving voice to it. I did read it, and it's absolutely, you know, great. You know, again, there was no right and wrong, you know, there in terms of where it took you and what it means. What I want to teach you, for those of you who continue with the I Education Institute, is how to use it. We won't be, you know, doing a whole lot of that this year. But how do you use the sad to make powerful arguments? Again, the Brother Farmer used it. He didn't rush through the sad part, okay? He said, in Mississippi, they lynched Negroes. And then he told the story, a short anecdote, but the story of folks coming up on a lynching. He used the sad, okay, in order to connect to the audience. Scare and sad are connecting emotions. It's important that you know that, okay, so that you know how to use them. Anger is also important. Anger, you know, is a limiting. Anger sets a limit and a boundary. So as you get to know, and this is what is one thing that is absolutely unique about argumentation and falsification in terms of Aya. Most folks will, you know, will try to teach you to avoid emotion whatsoever. You can't, first of all. It's this bogus idea that you can. But I wanted to teach you how to use it, just as James Farmer did there, okay? It wasn't a simple appeal to other people's emotion, okay? It was a valid argument, and he used the sadness of the situation, connected to the sadness of the folks, and then flipped it to his righteous anger, okay, that he would expect that they would be afraid of. Therefore, it encouraged them to be supportive of his argument to its civil disobedience. So I want you all to understand how he used emotion, okay, not cheaply, okay, not just a cheap appeal to emotion. He used emotion to grease the wheels of his arguments, and also he used the other emotion of fear to drive it home when he said, "And you'd better hope I choose the latter." Why would he say that? Why do you think he would say that? Why would people hope would want to agree with him that he should choose the latter? Talk to me.
Because he's putting fear into his argument. So while he was telling the story, he was talking about all the horrible things that were done to his people, and then he's saying that that he's saying the two calm ways, one calm way, another way, that he would react to it. So he said, "You better hope that I choose one of those ways, otherwise I would have to choose another way." And that scares people because they're like, "Wow, look at all the stuff that happened to him. He's gonna want revenge, or he's gonna want to, he's gonna do something to retaliate, something like that." So he's immediately putting fear in them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he did it in one line, one statement. "And you better hope I choose the latter." Okay? And so in the first part, he was using the sadness. This is important. So when you listening to people play, don't buy this stuff from folks that's about sad and depression, and you need to get away from that. Everything ought to be happy all the time. No. We all, you know, we want to use it. You want to move through it. Okay? You don't want to bottle it up by just covering it over with some other kind of stuff. So he used the sadness. He slowed it down. He told a story. Had people connect with him. Now, those people would connect to that story because they weren't doing, in Boston at that time, they weren't doing lynching black people, and they considered themselves better than that. Now he couldn't have done the same, got the same sadness, were he arguing in front of some redneck folks in Georgia someplace, okay? So he'd had to come up with another piece. But given his audience, he was able to use the sadness, which is a connecting emotion, to have them connect to him, connect to his situation, and therefore that supported his justification for being able to do what he had to do, since it was no law at all, and then the piece of fear. So I want you to understand, just as when they're playing the blues, okay, you're manipulating emotion, you also want to be able to use it. Now, you know, that wasn't scripted. That was because he tapped inside. You know, if this other white boy want to use some example of some personal thing with his father, then he could tap inside and go deep, much deeper than this little white boy could, in terms of he wants to talk about human stories and human tragedy that make the audience buy, you know, connect to them, you know, connect to the story. Oh man, so he went there. Now I've seen black people trying to argue, and they've learned so much to stay in their heads and not to combine the two that they lose that opportunity. You know, they don't go inside. They start going, oh man, what should I say? What's the argument? You know, should we use modus ponens? Here or yeah, okay. He was able to go inside and let it come out, and that's what happens when you hear people playing the blues. Okay. All right. So let's I'm gonna back off of that. Any comments or questions about that? And then from that let's transition to modus ponens. All right, so what is, folks, you were assigned to read and several of the rules. Any question about any of the rules? I may not take them one at a time. I'd rather be guided by your questions. If you already understand them, then I won't spend time on them. If you want us to expand on them a little bit, then I'll do that. Talk to me. Which are the rules of arguments from your rule of arguments book? Do you understand or do you have a question about?
I don't have the book. It is still on its way. My mom ordered it a while ago. I don't know why it's taking so long. To get to my house, but she ordered it a while ago and it still hasn't. Came. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But what were the rules that were assigned? Can you type in the text chat for me so that way I can look at them?
Okay, Nasha, I got it. You're not alone. And so we're going to talk about some of them to make sure that you also get them. I still want to be led by folks' questions or comments. And Zinzele is providing a link for you and others who may not have your book. You might click on it. And Zinzele, is there a question you have about any one of them or any one that's your favorite?
Yes, hold on. I'm just trying to find the name of it. I don't have any questions, and this the link that I put in is just my work link. And I'm trying to find the rule that I like the most. It's the rule that disproves a conclusion. So you state your conclusion and disprove the opposite of your conclusion to prove that since the other conclusion is false, your conclusion must be correct. I'm trying to find the name of it.
Are you talking about modus tollens? That would be rule number 25, if that's what you're talking about.
Yes, modus tollens is my favorite.
All right, let's go to modus tollens, okay? And let's look at how we're going to use that when you're, making arguments. Let's go to modus tollens. I'm going to go to modus ponens first. And then we'll go to modus tollens as a way to get there. I think it's easy to understand that way. Okay. In logic, modus ponens or modus ponendo ponens, it typically is abbreviated to MP or modus ponens, is a valid, simple argument form, sometimes referred to as affirming the antecedent or the law of detachment. Affirming the antecedent. What is an antecedent? Anybody guess? Use the root of the word, the root anti. They are weird, okay? They're weird because they're Greek. As you learn chui, people who will learn your chui, antecedent. Actually, antecedent comes before. Affirming the antecedent comes before. Good guess, Ife, but no, not this time. And it's closely related. Oh, you're right. They're Latin. I get them Greek and Latin a little bit mixed up because some of the prefixes are about the same. But we'll go on into it. it's closely related to modus tollens, which is denying the consequent. Consequent actually is what comes after. Consequent is the result. Antecedent is what comes before. For example, if there's a pronoun, and I said, you know, I use a pronoun, you need an antecedent so I know who he is referring to. If I just start saying, you know, she came yesterday, you're going to say, like, she who? Now, if I'm already talking about Rachma, and then I said, yeah, she came yesterday, then you know because of the antecedent who that she is referring to. Okay, so just want to make that connection. Always got to throw a little language arts in here, you know. All right, here, if P, then Q. P, therefore Q. All right, do y'all get that? All right, so make me an argument using modus ponens. Give me an if P, but instead of the letter P, make an argument referring to something like Sean Bell, for example. If P, then Q, or anything else. If P, then Q. P, therefore Q. Give it to me. Play with it. You can just, you know, type it on the fly or come to the Talk Now button. If P, then Q. P is true, therefore Q is true. Okay, here's an example that came to mind. Zenzela, you ought to resonate with this one. If the police won't protect us, that's P, then we must protect ourselves. Okay, that's Q. Well, we prove that the police don't protect us. Therefore, we must protect ourselves. That's modus ponens. Other examples that you have? Oh, Zenzele, I didn't see that you had dropped out. An example of modus ponens is what I was asking for folks to make, and I'm giving you the synchronizing you back. If P, then Q. P, therefore Q. And my example of that is... let me type it. I'll cut and paste it back in the text chat. All right, and I see Ife, you have something. Okay, Ife, you want to? If Ife has never had her hair dyed, then her hair color is natural. Okay, not quite finished with that. Not quite. There's one piece missing. Oh, actually, two pieces missing. If Ife has never had her hair dyed, then hair color is natural, okay? Then next part is, Ife, you got to prove that Ife has never had her hair dyed. Therefore, we can conclude, Q, that her hair color is natural. Okay, so you have the first part. You have the if P, then Q, okay? Now you got to prove P. And if you prove P, then Q will follow most times. Okay, other examples. And great, Eve, great try, great start.
Well, I don't know, I was going from what it says in the book, and I guess I didn't get that from my reading, so, but I see what you're saying though.
Well, what did you get? I mean, let's get clear, you know, what it says in the book and what do you have?
Okay, like, say, for example, it has one example that says, if optimists are more likely to succeed than pessimists, then you should be an optimist. Then it says, optimists are more likely to succeed than pessimists, therefore you should be an optimist. So I was basically thinking that it was like another way to write it as saying, like stating it rather than saying if such and such is such and such, then such and such is such and such. And then, like, I thought it was just two different ways of writing it, but I understand. I'm just saying, take it from the examples, that's why I put it like that. I didn't know you had to put the whole thing. Because it seems like, I guess if you don't understand that, it seems like you're kind of saying the same thing in a different way.
It's a little bit more than just saying the same thing in a different way. The answer is yes, it is saying the same thing in a different way, but the different ways to say it are really important for you being able to win your arguments, okay? That's what's key, that you know how to say it in ways, or even pose your arguments in ways that will increase the likelihood that you will win. So I don't want you to minimize the importance of being able to say something in a different way. Okay? All right. Does everyone get, and for those of you who don't have the book, I've synchronized you to Wikipedia here. If P, then Q. P, therefore Q. Now, let's go. Keone has a piece here. All right, Keone, if we worry about black power, but if we don't worry about black power, but green power, then our main focus is not black power, but green power. Nope, that's not an example of modus ponens, I don't think. Show me how. I'm looking for if P, then Q. So if we don't worry about black power, it should be then we worry about green power, okay? See, it has to be not an and, okay, or even a but. It needs to be if one thing, then another. If we don't worry about black power, then we'll worry about green power. You know, so you want to work on that. And ask me a question, Keone, if that's not clear. I'm sorry. Continue, Zinzelli.
Oh, I just wanted to say my example of modus ponens. If we don't do anything to stop police brutality, then more black men will be killed. We're not going to do anything to stop police brutality, therefore, more black men are going to be killed.
I hear it. And the weight of modus ponens is affirming the antecedent. That is, you have to prove. So if our using whether it's Ife's argument, she'd have to prove that she's never dyed her hair. If I could find some example of when she dyed her hair, then, aha, the whole thing falls on its face. And now, for Zinzelli's argument, we're not going, so she has to convince me that we're not going to do anything, okay? Not just that we haven't done anything, although she can use that we haven't to get me to believe and project, since we haven't, then we will. But the weight of an argument, if you're setting it up like this, the weight, if you're using modus ponens, is on being able to prove or affirm or support your antecedent. This is really important, because the whole weight of your argument is on being able to affirm, prove, support, get people to buy the antecedent. And if I buy that we're not going to do anything, then I have to buy that more black men are going to be killed. Good example. Nasha, you want to give voice to yours?
Yeah. Here's mine. Mine is, if there are many car crashes when there is not a road system, then we need a road system. Since people drive randomly when not following a system and get into accidents, then we need a road system.
Okay, great. Now, what you introduce here is something else. There are many car crashes when there's not a road system. So your job is to prove that there are many car crashes, okay? You start, of course, since you start with since, there's a reason there. People drive randomly when not following a system and get into accidents. So you actually have not, in that argument, what needs to be there is your proof that there are many car crashes there. So if I saw that there are car crashes, then I would say then we need a road system. Now, of course, you need to do as you're attempting to do and connect make sure you connect those car crashes to the lack of a road system. But what's missing here is some statement that there are car crashes. Okay, there are many car crashes. Okay. That's also what would be needed. Are you with me? Because that's affirming the antecedent. Okay. Notice when you say since people drive randomly when whatever get into accidents, you actually cut out the first thing. You're actually making your whole argument, since people drive randomly when not following a system and get into accidents, we need a road system. There is no need in this case for the first part. If you're without establishing, without affirming, you have to affirm the antecedent, what came before, the conclusion, all right? The conclusion is we need a road system, right after that comma, then we need a road system. That's the conclusion. The antecedent, it has to be affirmed. and you don't show or say that there are many car crashes due to a lack of a road system. Therefore, we need one. You with me? All right, Ife, I got your question. It's yours right now. Yes, Ife has never had her hair dyed. If she's never had her dyed, P, then her hair color is natural. Q, Ife has never had her dyed. Therefore, her hair is color is natural. Absolutely. That's modus ponens. Okay? Now, these, you know, arguments actually can be elaborate, you know, but the structure, you break them down to the key components, and your skill here is being able to affirm the antecedent. Okay? All right, any questions about that? All right, I got Nasha, Ife has participated in that. Zenzele has put hers in. Keone, you started. I gave you some feedback and haven't heard anything back from you. Missing in action are Totally, Rachma, Ralph, RD, Safia. Safia, is this course too hard for you? Do we need to make some adjustments? Ralph, is this course above you? Is it too hard for you? Rachma, I know it's not too hard for you, but I wonder where you are. Then why aren't you participating, my dear? If it's not too hard for you, then I expect for you to participate. If you're not participating, then I assume it's too difficult for you, that you're not ready to do this kind of evaluation. You want a lollipop. And the only way I know different is you participate. No, folks, we've been doing this for a long time. You know, I don't buy it. It's a if P then Q. It can even be nonsensical. It doesn't have to be deep, but you got to practice with it. And so I don't see it. So, and that's what I want to see. Safia, you know, talk is cheap. Let me see what you can put, sister. Ralph. You know, you haven't done anything all day except for putting no here. But you got to show me, from what I see, it is too difficult for you. You may need a lollipop. All right, well, are there any questions about modus ponens? The Latin, thank you, Ife. Modus ponens. If P, then Q. P, therefore Q. All right, now let's go to what... Zenzele said was her favorite, and that's modus tollens, and that's called denying the consequent, not denying the antecedent, but denying the consequent. What do you think, even before we go, what do you think that means? And if P then Q, P therefore Q, how would you say, yes, Zenzele, you can say something.
Thanks. I had a question about modus ponens. I think that was the one, or was it tollens that we were working on? Anyway, you said that my argument needed more background. Are you saying that in an actual argument, you would need to have more things supporting your premises to actually prove if this is true, then that is true? If we're not going to, in fact, stop police brutality, so then more black men are going to be killed? Or I had a question about that.
Excellent question. I'm glad you did. Because your statement is about the future, which we cannot absolutely prove. For example, if you contrast that with Ife has never dyed her hair, if Ife has never dyed her hair, then her hair color is natural. You know, I suppose we could chemically look at it. It's sometimes easier to prove something that has happened or whatever. When your statement is that we are not going to do something, that it's not that it's invalid, it's just that you have to know that there's a greater burden of proof on you to prove that it's not going to happen, okay? Sometimes you can, if it's a, you can provide some evidence, there is no evidence, you know, if what Kessa teaches the class, you know, something, you know, I'm just going to leave that alone. But anyway, the point is, because your argument is projecting of what will happen, then you'll need to know there's a greater burden of proof on it, okay? And that's all. But it's not that it's invalid. It's certainly valid. As it's written, the onus will be on you to prove to me or anyone that we're not going to. Okay? And that's a little bit more difficult. But, you know, not that it can't be done. Are you with me? Does that clear it up?
Yes, thank you. I get it.
All right. Rockmoss, finally come in. Thank you. And put in an argument. If there aren't many job openings for teens in town, then Rockma needs to apply quickly. Therefore, Rockma needs to apply quickly. I'm going to ask your team, your classmates, to give you feedback on that, Rockma. Is Rockma's argument an example of modus ponens? Yes or no? If no, why? If yes, why? Go at it.
No, not quite, because if there aren't many job openings for teens in town, then Rockma needs to...
Not really. I think you're really, really close, but you just have to say if this is true, so to confirm your premise, the if part of your statement, and then pair it with therefore Rockma needs to apply quickly, I think. That's how it should be done. So there aren't many jobs opening in town, therefore Rockma needs to apply quickly. I think that would fix.
Yeah, I agree with Zelle saying if you need a little, you need more. I'm sorry, I keep thinking that you guys can't hear me. Okay, you need more evidence there because you're only saying one thing, and you're only saying that if there aren't many job openings for teens in town, it's like you're trying to say something, but you're not quite, you're not getting it across, and it's like it's not clear what you're arguing, you know, something. So you need to put more premises there that lead up to you not being able to apply quickly. You need to put more the obstacles there that makes you need to apply quickly.
Okay. All right. So your classmates have responded. So Rockma, you remember the form: if P, then Q. Prove P, therefore Q will be true most of the time, okay? All right, so when you say if there aren't many job openings for teens, then Rockma needs to apply quickly. You haven't proved P, okay? So actually, Nasha, she doesn't need to create other premises. She only needs to affirm P. All right, Rockma, do you get it? And Nasha, no, it really doesn't depend on what you're arguing in terms of modus ponens. It's just that if you're going to say if P, then Q, and then P, that means you prove P or you support P. It's just depending upon what you need to do to support P is all the feedback I was giving to Zenzele, because in her case, P was we are not going to, then because it's a projection of the future, not something she can prove by past evidence or something, whatever, then she's going to have to take that in consideration. It did not make it invalid. It was a modus ponens argument. It's just that I was letting you know when you have to prove P, okay, that's where the weight of your energy is. So when you create a strategy of saying, you know, if the police are not going to protect us, we need to protect ourselves, then the strength of your argument needs to be on demonstrating that the police have not and are not, okay, protecting us, likely will not protect us, therefore Q is true. So most of your argument will be on that, and then it drives home your repeat of your therefore Q. All right. All righty. Okay, Nasha, so the first P in the premise and the second P is the proof. Right. The first P is if P, then Q. Now, then you have to prove P, okay? That's why they're saying P. You have to prove P. If you prove P, then most times you can go therefore Q, and it's hard for people to back out from that, okay? And it's just letting you know, you know, where the onus is, where the weight is. All right. All right, RD, you got it. Safia, you got it. Safia, I'm glad you chose to participate in giving feedback to Rockma. I still don't see yours. Maybe you will provide yours when we now go to modus tollens or denying the consequence. consequent, excuse me. Incidentally, these are rules of inference. There are options. They don't make it absolutely positively true, but you can, you know, arguing. Okay, so let's now look at modus tollens. This is again from Wikipedia. Please, you know, for those of you who don't have books, you can still. I'm putting in the text chat so you can follow along and you can, you know, understand it. All right. They also are called indirect proofs, redirects here for proof of contradiction, for proof by contradiction. In logic, modus tollendo, tollens. Latin for the way that denies by denying, is the formal name for indirect proof or proof by contraposition or a contrapositive inference. Okay, it's abbreviated MT or modus tollens. It can also be referred to as denying the consequent, and is a valid form of argument, and is closely related to another valid form of argument called modus ponens or affirming the antecedent. So here is the form for modus tollens: if P, then Q. Not P, not Q, therefore not P. So if P, then Q. If the police are not going to protect us, then we must protect ourselves. The police do protect us. If that, not Q. We can't protect ourselves, therefore, well, let me just see. I'm trying to flip that around. It may not work right on the fly. Let me give a little thought to that. All right, let's all come up with if P, then Q, not Q, therefore P. See what we can come up with. You first can see if you can turn the arguments that you've already put in around and see if that works. See how that might work. Then you can also create some totally different ones. All right, that's my hand at using modus tollens to still say what I said before, but say it in a different different way. Let me know whether or not that fits for you. You know, I want your evaluation, because sometimes my on-the-fly can be not on the money. So does this fit for you? If P, then Q. If the police protect us, we don't need to form our own deacons for defense. The police are not protecting us or not going to protect us. Therefore, we do need our own deacons for defense. Questions? Comments? You think I made it? No. I don't understand the plus, Safia, in front of the plus, then plus Q. I don't understand that part. You simply, you know, make the statement, the premise, if the police protect us, then we don't need to form our own deacons for defense. We don't need to arm ourselves. All right, so now you're going to deny the consequence, you're going to deny the Q. Oh, you know what? I didn't do that. I'm glad I didn't do it. I didn't do it correctly. All right, I went and denied the antecedent. Aha! You know, I want you to come up with arguments. Thank you, Ralph. I'm glad you began to participate. Come up with an argument. The one that I came up with is wrong. I didn't do it quite right. I denied the antecedent again. I was stuck in modus ponens, okay? That is, what I have to prove is if the police won't protect us, we don't need to form our own deacon for defense. Then I needed to have an argument that would mean if I denied Q, we don't need to form our own deacons for defense. Then, therefore, the police will protect us. So I didn't do that. I repeated so what I did was modus ponens, not modus tollens. That's why I want y'all to check it out, make sure I was right. And y'all ain't gonna let me be all wrong here. I'm supposed to be the teacher. Yes, Ife. Let's see if we can come up with one.
I can't hear you, Sophia. So, like, all I hear is, like, really staticky. But I can't hear you, though. I mean, it's an argument that I put together. If licorice tastes good, it is good to eat. Licorice is an artificial candy. When you eat it, you put harmful chemicals in your body. Therefore, licorice is not good to eat.
Sound like you proved that the second premise is false. Therefore, the first statement is false. Repeat it again. Oh, I got you typing in the text chat. If licorice tastes good, it's good to eat. So the job is to prove that it's not good to eat. So if P, then Q. You prove not Q is not good to eat. So are you proving that it doesn't taste good? Sophia, I'm sorry that you broke your mic. That's ugly.
Well, because did you ask me a question? I didn't quite hear you.
Well, I was going through it, let's come back to it, Nasha. I put something in the text chat here. This is from the same Wikipedia page. I just want to, for anybody, RD is having difficulty getting to the Wikipedia page. So let's just see further explanation of modus tollens. All right. Go where it says consider an example. If there is fire here, then there is oxygen here. There is no oxygen here, therefore there is no fire here. All right, that's the modus tollens. So you said if it tastes good, then it's good to you. So you want to deny Q. It's not good to you, therefore it doesn't taste good. Do you see, Nasha? You made the claim that if it tastes good, it's good to you. You succeeded in denying Q, that is, that it was good to you. Therefore, it doesn't taste good. Well, that one doesn't quite hold up. But you're in the right ballpark. Do you see that? All right, Ralph, thank you again for participating. If it's raining, there will be clouds overhead. And then there are no clouds overhead. Therefore, Ralph, you got to finish. Therefore what? All right, great. And this is particularly important when you're using circumstantial evidence. If we were trying to prove that it wasn't raining that day, and that was central to a case, and I looked at the and I made a statement that if it were raining, then there would be clouds overhead. And I look at the national weather reports for that day, and there's no report of clouds. Then I could conclude that that was not raining. And if raining was a key part of the prosecutor's evidence or claim from what everybody else, then I've just used modus tollens to challenge that. The burden of proof is to prove not Q. All right, let's go another one that they have. We have in the text chat. If Lizzie were the murderer, then she owns an axe. Lizzie does not own an axe, therefore Lizzie was not the murderer. Now, of course, you can see these can be both powerful and they also can be weak, depending upon what the actual argument is. Of course, if you buy that I have to own an axe in order to be the murderer, then I couldn't just borrow it. then if you prove that I don't own an axe, then you can go in that direction. But, you know, so depending on what your situation is and where you find yourself, you just want to be able to have different resources and different ways to make your point. Okay? So these two today have just been, you know, two that we've used, modus ponens and modus tollens. Any questions, more questions about modus tollens? Okay, I think we got modus ponens. Any questions about modus tollens? Come up with some other examples. Great example, Ralph. Keone, let me see what you got. All right, why don't you give some voice to your own, Keone? Your mic is working. Just a minute. Nasha, there's not a if-then connected to licorice is a candy, it is good to eat. They're just two statements. So if there's not a if-then, you can't go back on it. If you prove that licorice is not good to eat, it doesn't disprove that it's a candy. Okay? Try again. All right, Keone.
I said if I eat meat, I would get sick. I'm not sick, therefore I did not eat meat.
Uh-huh. And I hope y'all are seeing some why it's important to make sure that your arguments are sound, because, of course, that argument, while it follows the modus ponens, tollens form, Keone, certainly can be challenged. So the connection, your if-then connection, is the best thing to make sure that that's tight. If there are other things that could account for your being sick, then someone can destroy it very easily, okay? But if you can come up with a strong if-then piece that's believable and then deny the then you deny the first part, okay? All right, there are others. Thank you for participating. Hold on. Okay, Zendaya, you want to get give some voice to that? And then Safia?
If this country cared about black people, they would have immediately brought food and water to the Katrina victims. They did not immediately bring food and water to the Katrina victims. Therefore, this country does not care about black people.
Hey, sounds like, what's his name? I often, my children get on me because I call him Cayenne. It's Kanye West. Okay. Great. Now, if you're challenging someone that makes a modus tollens argument, then your job is to challenge at the point of the if-then, that whether or not that connection, okay? You wouldn't even try to debate whether or not they brought water to the victims. If you were on the other side, you would try to show that, in fact, that if-then consequence is not true.
All right.
Very good example. Zendaya. Alright, Safia, your mic is broke, so let me give voice to it. If my eyes are swollen, there is pollen around. My eyes are not swollen, therefore there's pollen around. Safia, that is modus ponens. You have affirmed, it's close. You actually are denied the antecedent, so it's close, okay? If my eyes are swollen, there is pollen around. You would say, there is no pollen around, therefore my eyes aren't swollen. Mainly, you're probably right. It would probably be good to say, if there is pollen around, then my eyes are swollen. My eyes are not swollen, so there's no pollen around. All right? Do you see that, Safia? How about rewrite it in that form? Rachma, where's your modus tollens argument? Alrighty, Safia, did you hear me? I guess assume you're working on changing that. Does it make sense? Do you have a question? Does anybody else have a question on modus tollens and modus ponens? Alright, you got to put that if, Safia, in front of if there is pollen around, my eyes are swollen. Period. Not a comma. Then the next statement, and what you're going to prove, is my eyes aren't swollen. Therefore, there is no pollen around. Okay. Again, the weakness of this, or the strength, is whether or not folk can come up with other ways to prove the consequence. Okay. So you want to make sure that that's tight. All right. Let's move on. I haven't heard anything from some people on this one, but I'm assuming you got it. Okay, Rachma, thank you. Rachma, I assume you still don't have a microphone, so I'm going to read it. Please let me know if you do. If I'm breaking out, I ate too much chocolate last week. I haven't broke out. Almost, Rachma, almost. You did the same thing that Safia did, okay? That is, if I ate too much chocolate last week, then I'm breaking out, or then I would break out. I haven't broken out, therefore I didn't eat too much chocolate. Okay, what you did is you denied the antecedent. The before and after has to do with the if then. If then. The before is the if. That's the antecedent. All right. The then is the consequence. That's why they call it denying the consequence. All right, you got it? Annie or Debbie. All right, great. Now, let's pick another rule that you want to talk about real quick. We got 4 minutes. I am actually, believe it or not, going to let you out of here at 12:45. I have 12:41 my time, so it'll be 12:45 my time. So I have 12:41, so I have 4 minutes. We are now back at the list of rules that from Zenzele's page. Thank you, Zenzele. And for those of you who don't have a book, you can give Zenzele some props for allowing you to see these rules as well. Any other ones you want to talk about? Quickly scan them. We've done 24 and 25. Thank you, Nasha. Ralph, you don't have any appreciation for Sister Zenzele having the rules there, so you can see them since you don't have a book. Safia, others. Okay, then here is your work. All right, appreciate that, Safia. We always got to, we give each other props. We support each other. There are times when she'll lean on you, so you're leaning on her right now. She can lean on you. And when we participate and come up with arguments, it helps all of us get clearer. And so your being willing to risk and put stuff in is how, you also give back. People can learn. They learn from what you get correct. They also learn from your mistakes. You learn from their mistakes and what they get correct. Okay. Now, your job is for homework to create arguments for each of the rules. You're going through rule 30. Create arguments. And these arguments need to relate to something that's real in our lives. So we're not doing anything. It can be Sean Bell. It can be a real issue that black people are facing. It doesn't have to be Sean Bell. It can be education. It can be healthcare. It can be the environment. It can be something that affects our people. Okay. It can be police brutality. It can be men beating up on women. It can be any number of things. But so your job for each one of these. So for Rule 27, for example, all of them, that you have on the page, Zenzele, come up with argument for Rule 19, propose the most likely cause. Rule 20, correlated events not necessarily related. Come up with an example that would show that you understand what that is. 21, correlated events may not have a common cause. You can, in some of these, if you want to challenge arguments that are already out there that have to do with our people, for example, black people commit more crimes, or black people are criminals, okay? There's a correlation between black people and crime. Now, number 20 says correlated events are not necessarily related. You can use some. So either you're challenging arguments that have been out there, or you're creating your own arguments to show that you understand all of the rules. All right, that is due on Tuesday. Yeah, so have it ready to slap in the text chat. Please don't just do it Tuesday morning. Okay, just as we have been working on two arguments, we've been an hour and a half. And working on two to have it where we understand when you work. You also can share with each other, email them to each other, help each other out ahead of time and say, wow, I didn't get that. Do you understand that? So you got it. And for those of you who are long distance and don't want to use long distance, you can use the conference room on the weekend. You can use the Social Studies conference room. You know, most times we're not here, so we'll direct you to another room. We're not using all of them on the weekends. So I hope you do. I want to say Miani So Biarho. I appreciate all of you. Hope you have modus ponens and modus tollens, and you'll begin to see how to use that in an argument. And that's it. Any other appreciations from you before you get out of here? Yep, Skype is cool and it is free. And if you're in this platform, then you certainly can be. This is just an alternative to Skype since everybody has it. That is, everybody in this classroom has it. And if you have Skype numbers, however, you can put your Skype number or ID there for so people can get you through your Skype number. All right. In appreciations, you have 30 seconds to do appreciations, and then we're out.
I appreciate everyone for coming to class today. I enjoy this class, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I appreciate everybody for coming to class, for participating, and giving their examples and so on. So I'll see y'all in the next class. Gracia.
Thank you, Baba Kessa, for class, and thank you all of my classmates, Issei, and well, everybody, for participating, and thanks.
All right, I've placed the homework in the text chat after having said it before. Create arguments for or against that illustrate each of the arguments. Illustrate each of the rules. What rules? The rules that are on this page. The link is there as well. Make sure that your arguments relate to real issues facing African people. Okay. All right. Y'all take care. See you in 45 minutes from whatever time is on your watch. I'll be right here in Social Studies for Ancient Kemet. Take care. I'll leave you with some Minnie Riperton from our Mukanda video to ease you out into your lunchtime.
Yes, please. I got booted.